We're going to look at God's word together now. And on this morning that we've given over to talking about small groups and gathering together in small groups and not neglecting meeting together, I'm actually not going to start the sermon by upholding and evangelizing you on the importance of small groups. We'll get there. I don't want to begin by encouraging you to craft or run or dance or Bible study or sign up for a life group, although I will do that again before we finish. But I want to begin by looking at the dangers of the opposite. The dangers of building a church culture that is defined and built and designed for and by the unholy trinity, as I'll call it. The unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. iPads and the phones and instant gratification. We're building a society around these gods. Individuality, my own wants and desires, my rights, my wants, my satisfaction. If you were here a few weeks ago when Ben preached, he spoke about our society's compulsion to sing my way. And to quote poetry that says, I am the captain of my fate. And to sing songs that say, this is me. This is our culture. Now, sometimes this culture seems to succeed for people. And people thrive in their individuality. But even then, there is a creeping loneliness that comes. This is a quote from Freddie Mercury. He said, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest person. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship. It's almost as if we were all created for something outside of ourselves. And if we don't find that, everything else in the world can't fill that void. And it's no surprise that as we elevate this way of thinking as a culture, we build something in which loneliness thrives. And it thrives for both the successful and the unsuccessful. Here are some facts about loneliness. A study by the British Red Cross reveals that over 9 million people in the UK across all adult ages, more than the population of London, are either always or often lonely. There are 1.2 million chronically lonely people above the age of 65 in the UK. 500,000 of those older people go at least 5 or 6 days a week without seeing or speaking to anyone at all. A survey by Action for Children found that 43% of 17 to 25-year-olds who use their service had experienced problems with loneliness, and that half of that group said that they never felt loved at all. Action for Children also reported that 24% of their parents surveyed said that they were always or often lonely. And loneliness isn't just a side issue. Loneliness is dangerous. Loneliness, living alone, poor social connections, are as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, according to the NHS. Loneliness is likely to increase your risk of death by 29%. Now, why is loneliness not just a side issue? Why is it dangerous? It's dangerous because we're not built for it. We're not meant to be alone. It isn't our nature. Our God is not the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, but the holy trinity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's that God that we are made in the image of. Let me read to you from Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves in the ground. In this passage, we have the first mention of the plurality of God. It says, let us make man in our image. It's the first clear reference to the triune one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, the Trinity can be confusing at times, but it is oh so important that we know about it and that we understand what we can about it, because it feeds and drives our understanding that out of community, we were all created in order to be in community with one another. Let me repeat that. Out of community, we were all created in order to be in community with one another. Our very nature, as we have already read, is derived from the image of God. And the image of God is one of community. So we must be as well. God's first command to his people is to be fruitful and multiply. And guess what? This is God alone. God's first command drives people together intimately. This is God's desire, that we may be as he always is and has been, together, as a church, as his people, a community. In the zoomed in version of creation we get in chapter 2 of Genesis, we get the clearest picture of this, when God declares that it's not good for man to be alone. And that's not just because he'll only ever eat pizza and never wash his pants and have holy socks. It's because he was never meant to be alone. We are created out of the community of God for the community of God. Early church fathers would often use the word perichoresis as a word for the Trinity. And it's a word that almost literally means rotation. It's this idea that the triune God always has, always is, and always will be, and exists in rotation around each other. Eternal submission to one another, commitment and dedication to one another, each fully God, each submitted to one another. And out of the use of that word, rotation, perichoresis, came this picture in the early church of a dance. That's quite appropriate that we have a dance group, but a dance, a rotation around one another, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And out of that dance of love and submission and affection and community came creation, all of us. We came out of the community of God. And we are a continuing outworking of the communal dance, and we're supposed to keep dancing with one another. Now, I'm no dancer. I don't think I'll be at your group, Anne. I need to learn how to dance. I need to learn how to dance, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to learn how to dance. If you see me at a way than the edge, what you'll normally see is me on the edge of the dance floor, or even further away than the edge of the dance floor, sitting in the seat that I was given the whole time, okay, or at the bar, or as far away as I could possibly be. That's where I want to be. And I'm not encouraging you to be a literal dancer, although we could all do with losing our inhibitions a bit, probably. But I'm encouraging you to be a dancer in the universal creationary sense. We need to be on God's dance floor. We need to be embracing the community of God. We need to be engaged in our relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And out of that, we need to be committed with dancing with one another, committed to our brothers and sisters in Christ, committed to rotating around one another, submitting to one another, being in relationship with one another, growing what God has done amongst us as a church. We were made to be in community with one another. And that's the community culture that we want to build here at Hope Church. The Church of Jesus Christ is not building itself into the culture of the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. That's not the culture we want to build. We want to build ourselves into the culture of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that all people have been created for a place and for a purpose. And they will only find both of those things in fullness in the community of God's people. If we continue to look at the story of creation, we'd see that Adam and Eve chose the other way. They chose the unholy Trinity. They chose. The root of their choice was a desire to be God, to know everything that God knew, that individualism. And generations later, we are living with the result of countless generations' choices to stand on the edge of the dance floor, rejecting the community of God, building our own little kingdoms. And it's the role of the church today to get back on the floor in communion with God and extend the arms that we have to reach every person, inviting them to reject the edge of the floor, reject the me, myself, and I culture, and join in with the dance that they were created for. Reject their own little kingdoms and individuality that will bring them nothing but a waste of time now and a lost eternity when they die. And say, come here. Come into the community of God's people. Come into the community that you were made for, that you were supposed to be a part of. Come and find life and life to the full. We as a church want to help all people. That's you. It's the person sitting next to you. It's the person in this building that you don't really know. It's your friends, it's your family, it's your workmates, it's your neighbors. We want to help all people find their place in God's family and their purpose on God's mission. And when God speaks to us about that, we want that so much that we're willing to change the way that we do some things. We're willing to change the way that we do small groups. We're willing to change the way that we engage with one another because we want to reach more people. We want to help more people find their place in God's family. And that's why this morning and over the last few months we've been talking about changing the way that we do small groups, because we believe we're responding to the call of God upon us as a church to dance together more effectively and reach out to the edge of the floor and involve others as well. These changes to small groups are about two things in particular. They're about building community together, and they're about inviting others into the family. We're placing community at the heart of church life. These groups raise the priority of togetherness. The writer to the Hebrews said to the early church, "Let us not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." That command is not particularly grey. It's quite black and white. Let us not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. If we hold that up against our life, the likelihood is that we find ourselves in a place where our heart and our desires are either prioritizing gathering together or neglecting gathering together. We have to ask that question of ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. Am I committed to the people of God? Am I involved, passionately engaged in God's people? More than just a Sunday morning, more than just a building, because that's not what the church is. The church is the dance of God continuing, rotating and submitting to one another continually, stepping together in the same way and the right way with one another. It's commitment to one another. Let us not neglect the meeting together of God's people. That is the same command to us today. And in order to do that, we need to meet together. We need to make it a priority. It needs to be something that goes in our diaries before anything else. It needs to be something that we value above anything else. The meeting together of God's people is vitally important if we're going to do the job that he's called us to do, if we're going to be a family, and if we're going to be on mission. It's not the church's job. It's not church leaders' jobs to make people gather together. It's church's jobs to offer the opportunity to people to respond to what God has done. And this is an opportunity. I think it's an exciting opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to look at the different groups that are gathering and say, how can I be involved? What can I do? Maybe I've never been able to go to a life group before, but I can go to one of these. Maybe I have neglected the meeting together of God's people in life groups, but I can do one of these. Maybe I've put less value on this, but I can do one of these. How do we prioritize the opportunity to meet together now that we have more opportunities to do it? Will we be those who look at this as an opportunity to neglect or an opportunity to prioritize the meeting together of God's people? We need to build community together, because the culture in which we live is on a one-way road towards neglecting community. It's creating online spaces for community that don't really do the job. We can't do that as a church. We need to create genuine community, genuine family. We need to be on the dance floor together, building community with one another. We release you. How will you prioritize meeting together with God's people, the opportunities that have come your way? And we're also, as a part of this, inviting others into the family. We need to be those who, as we take to the floor, as we dance, look to the edge, look to the people who aren't involved, look to the people who aren't engaged, and say, part of my role is to involve them. And there will be people like that here in church. You may feel like that. You can feel incredibly lonely in a room that is full. You may feel like that. And I pray that these groups will be an opportunity for you to be aware. Perhaps you don't feel at the moment. And each one of us has to be aware of how we can sweep to the edge of the floor and involve all people in what God is doing. And it's wider than that. It's your friends and it's your family, it's your workmates and it's your neighbours. We Christians can too often be insular and looking down. It's just what we do. All clubs do it. All clubs over certain amounts of time become insular and inward. But, you know, Christianity is the only club that exists for the good of its non-members. We're not here for each other, really. We are, but we're here for people out there. And if we don't recognize that when we gather together, it's an opportunity for us to sweep wider than the edge of the floor, to find each and every person in our life and say, come and do this with me. Come alongside me. Let's build a greater relationship. Come and meet some other brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's get to know each other and let's find an opportunity for you to get to know Jesus. We're inviting others into the family. These groups are a way for us to build community together, to prioritize that, and to invite others to come and play their part in God's family and in his mission. And one of the reasons that this group is good is that we all dance a little bit differently. Some of us dance well, some of us dance badly. Actually, that's not right. No one dances badly. We just dance differently. Right? We all dance differently. We all engage differently with one another. That's the glory of the church. I think the church is the weirdest and the most glorious thing in the world. That so many different people would come together and choose to commit to one another. We all dance a little bit differently. And these groups give us the opportunity to do that. To use our own skills and our talents and our gifts and our activities to come together and build relationship and invite others to come and play their part as well. That's what we're doing together. Because small groups are important because they build the unity that we already have. So our unity already exists because each and every one of us, if we love Jesus as our Lord and Savior, has come to a point where we've recognized we need salvation. And we've come to the cross. We've come to the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we've recognized that I need to humble myself and repent of my sin and receive salvation. And when we do that, we come to the cross, and all around the cross is level ground. No matter if you've been a Christian for a week or decades, right? You come to this table as a child of God. This is the unity that's been won for us. No one better than anybody else. No one greater able to command salvation. We all receive it through grace, through the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's the unity that's been won for us. And now everything else we do as a church is a way of maintaining that unity, a way of furthering those relationships, a way of inviting others to come and find their place around the level ground of the cross. It's this that unites us first and foremost.